first professional gig was with Rupert and the Red Devils. They were a ska-based band based in West London. Rupert was Jamaican. He played the sax, who was the leader of the band. There was another sax player called Nathaniel Fredericks, who later played with Jimmy James and the Vagabonds, I believe. But they used to swap roles between tenor and baritone, so we had a sax section, really, two guys. There was keyboards, bass, guitar, and drums, and I was the guitarist. We used to play, of course I was only 15 at the time, remember, a lot of places we play, the rule was you had to be 18, so I was always told to say, if anyone ever asked, you're 18, you know, there was little me at 15 trying to pass for 18, so I used to kind of hide at the back. We used to play a place called the Roaring Twenties in Carnaby Street, and I used to, when I think back, you know, my mother must have been having fits. When my dad used to come and meet me sometimes, pick me up, you know, and I was just like, Dad, wait down the road, will you, and this kind of stuff. But that was really my first taste of professional musical life. We went on to back an American singer called Mel Turner. When I say we, I mean Rupert and the Red Devils. We went to Germany to play. We played in Munich, and I guess we must have been there 3 or 4 months. And then my career took a real turn. It was fate. This is how the story went. I was walking down the street one afternoon, and there was a guy coming towards me, and I don't know, something, we looked at each other, and he said to me, musician? And I said, yeah. And it threw me totally. And he was speaking with a very heavy, I thought, German accent, but he was in actual fact Dutch. And he introduced me, and we introduced ourselves, and I said, I'm Ray, and I play with an English band. And he said, oh yeah, I'm Jerry, and I play with a Dutch band. And he said, oh, you must come and see us. So I said, oh yeah. He said, what's the band called? And he said, oh, the Defenders. And I said, okay, where are you playing? And he said, oh, we're playing at a place called the Greckerbusch. And I said, okay. I said, in actual fact, we've got an IHOP tonight. I'll see if the guys want to come down. So I went back and I saw Con, Keith and Mike. And I said, look, I met this guy. And he said, he's playing tonight. He's a musician, Dutch band. I said, yeah, okay, we'll go. Anyway, we come out of the club where we've been playing, rehearsing in the afternoon. I jump in a taxi and I said to the taxi driver, could you take us to the Greckerbusch? And he said, where?
The Greckerbusch?
Don't know this. You know, so get out of the cab again. And the three guys in the band are going, oh, God, Ray, you know, what, I thought we were going out tonight. I said, don't worry, I'll find it out. You know, there's me feeling stupid. And I saw these two American servicemen coming along the street. And I went up and I said, excuse me, but could you tell me where the Greckerbusch is? And they said, the Greckerbusch, man? You mean the Cracker Box? And they said, we're going there, follow us. And it turns out it was just up the road. Anyway, we went down there, and there was Jerry playing with the Defenders. They were all, the rest of the three guys were Indonesian, I think, Dutch Indonesian guys. And they all, but the most amazing thing was they all had these suits on, but really over the top cabaret type suits with the big frilly shirts and the tuxedo look, real cabaret look. And I remember that one of the guitarists was playing a 9-string Fender. And a lot of the Indonesian guys used to add 3 more strings down the other side of a Fender Strat. So in other words, the first 3 strings would be like a 12-string. And this comes from a Dutch band called Tilman Brothers who used to do that. You know, used to play a lot of very fast instrumental playing, a lot of instrumental tunes in their set. And I saw this and I thought, crikey, that's an unusual idea. Anyway, we became real good friends with the guys in the Defenders, and we used to, you know, meet up daily. They'd come and see us on their day off. We'd go and see them. We'd jam a little. And I used to like jamming with Jerry, the guitarist, and we became really good friends. And our contract was about to finish, and so was the Defenders' contract about to finish. And Jerry, completely out of the blue, said, how do you fancy forming a band? And I said, yeah, that sounds good. And I said, well, who with your guys or with... No, he said, Cyril and the guys. Cyril was the leader of the band. He said, they're all going back to Holland, but I'd quite like to do something new. What are you guys doing? I said, well, I don't know. We're going back to England, but the contract's up here. So I spoke to Con, Keith and Mike. They were the rhythm section, and Mike was the keyboard player and vocalist when Mel wasn't singing. And Mike said, no, he said, I've got family commitments, I've got it. But the other two guys said, yeah, I've got, you know, they were single guys. Yeah, why not, we'll give it a shot. Rupert wasn't interested, he had commitments, and Nathaniel, he wanted to go back to England. I mean, when you look back on this, I mean, it's amazing that we just made these instant decisions. And Jerry said, I know somewhere in Germany we can play. But Cuxhaven, which was like a very near Hamburg, another German port. So Jerry said, I phoned the manager of this club, and he said, we can start next week if we want. So I said, oh, that's great, yeah, how are we going to get there? Oh, we go on the train. Anyway, there's us. This is like a thing out of a movie, you know, it's like, let's do the show right here. We got on this train from Munich to Cuxhaven with all our equipment, drums, I had an AC-30 at the time, you know, weigh a ton, those things. All our guitars, Jerry's three guys had gone back to Holland, and we all go trancing off to Cuxhaven. We get to this place, it was dreadful. The accommodation was above the club. Bloody mice running everywhere. It was a nightmare. It was an awful damn place. And we had to play 7 hours a night. And I think we stuck it for about 3 weeks. We had a month's contract. And I said to Jerry, we can't do, we've got to get out of this place. He said, no, we've got to finish this. You know, the owner of the club was a real nightmare kind of guy, you know, he bowled under the coat job. It was a real heavy kind of club. There were fights in there every night, and sometimes we'd be playing to three people, and sometimes we'd be playing to a place to be stuffed. I said, no, Jerry, I spoke to God, we're going to go. He said, well, the only way we can go is if we go in the middle of the night, which is exactly what we did. We skulked out of this place in the middle of the night. Where were we going to go? Jerry again came up, with good old Jerry, I mean, he saved our lives. He said, I know another place that we can play, and it's in Holland, in Delft. It's a place called the Restaurant Cecile. So I said, okay, you sort it out. Anyway, Jerry, within hours, had sorted out, we'd planned all this, it was like escaping from COVID. We'd planned our breakout from this club in Cuxhaven to go to Holland, and we got a night train. We arrived in Holland at Rotterdam early in the morning, bleary-eyed, and then we got to Delft. Somehow we got to Delft. I don't know. I can't remember how we got there, but we must have got there with all this equipment. And Jerry took us to this restaurant. And the people were so nice there, and we played, and they loved us. They absolutely loved us. And a new friendship was then formed with Peter Tetterow, who used to work at the place, and he was a singer, and he had a band called The Shats, which is a very strange name. It was pointed out to him at one point that Shat was in actual fact the past tense of shit. And Peter had a great voice. I remember he got up and sang with us a couple of times, and he used to sound like Otis Redding and Ray Charles, and he was a young guy too, you know, he was younger than I was, and but he had such a good voice. And the whole thing was just a very successful experience. Suddenly, we had a lot of people listening to us, and in a different way, too. People would come to the Restaurant Cecil to hear this English band, but they would come to watch us, not just as like we'd done before, where we played in nightclubs where people, you know, they couldn't really care whether we were playing or not. You know, they'd talk through our act, or they'd drink through our act. But these people were, and it was our first real taste of people coming to see us as a band.